Turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, the 91st Psalm, Psalm 91, in your Scofield Bible, page 644. And we'll be reading the first six verses. We'll read them responsively. While you're finding that, I have these two announcements I've been asked to read. With the owner of a Chevrolet Corsica, Indiana license 45C, 4685, just parked across the street here, Sibley Street, needs to be moved because it's blocking a car that needs to leave. And then the mother of Esther Guzman needs Esther at the usher station immediately, please. We'll be turning to one other scripture after we read this passage, the fifth and sixth verses of this passage. The text verses. And so let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now I'll turn to the other scripture. You need not turn to it. It's Habakkuk. The third chapter and the second verse. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful God you are. We thank you for this season of the year. We, of course, pause to think of those members who've gone before us. A growing number of them assembling in thy presence, hundreds now since Brother Hiles became our preacher, who await the ascension of those others of us when Jesus comes again. And so we remember, but at the same time, we need to be busy about getting the message of hope to those who need to know. And those who need to be refreshed and strengthened, who are thy children, bless us and help and meet every need. Our preacher needs thee. We need thee as hearers of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a lot of pet peeves, and one of them is that we don't say amen to words like that, like we do some giddy words that we hear, just because it's got a peppy beat to it. I'm not against a peppy beat. I'm a peppy beater myself. But, love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. And you're resting your weary soul instead of thinking about that song. I want to preach this morning most unusual message you ever heard me preach in your life. And, of course, you never heard me preach an unusual message before. But, this one is really. I know I'm supposed to preach this. I didn't want to because I don't like to preach to just a segment. But I'm going to preach this morning to the middle-aged people. Us middle-aged people. Now, when I say middle-aged, I'm talking about the middle of life. So I guess that'd be somebody between 30 and 55, wouldn't it? Don't they? Listen to me now. Listen to me, young people. Don't they call 55, they start getting senior citizens discounts? It's been so long since I started, I've forgotten when I started. But I guess I'm talking about those in the middle of years of life, between 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, and 68. And this morning, I want to talk to you middle-aged people. Now, the rest of you need to hear, because you will be a middle-ager if you're younger than that. And if you're older, you'll be in your second childhood, and you'll be making your second trip around before long. And But I want to talk to you, and it's very strange, and I really didn't want to do it, but I feel like I'm supposed to. The text is the word that's a line a while ago. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Here's the text. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Nor for, are you listening? Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You think about destruction at midnight. You think about robbers and danger at midnight. But the Bible said the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And then the writer of Habakkuk said, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Not in the early part of the years, or not in the latter years, but revive thy work in the midst of the years. How many of you are between 30 and 55? Raise your hand, would you please? Way up high. All right. I want you to pay attention, and the rest of you are going to pay attention, because those of us that raised our hands, we support you. And So I want you to listen carefully. It's a very different kind of a sermon, but I hope you listen to me. Let me get this other mic so I can move around. I promise you, that's a female microphone right there. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, bless the sermon this morning. I do want to help people. I really do. In fact, I do not know when I preached a sermon that I wanted to help people any more than I do this morning. Help me to do it. And if I do it, I have to have your attention. You have to have mine. And if I do it, the people will have to pay attention to both of us. May it be so. Amen. Who cares about the middle-aged people? If anybody in this world ought to demonstrate, it's the middle-aged people. You have children's menus. You have senior citizens' menus. But did you ever see a middle-aged menu? You have youth programs. One end of the spectrum. The other end, the Best Years Club. You help children across the street. And you help old people across the street. But sometimes middle-aged people have to cross the street too. Who helps middle-aged people across the street? We have Little League. Did you ever hear of the Middle-Aged League? We have youth camp. Junior camp, youth conference, retirement village. We have Social Security, college grants, children's discounts, senior citizens' discounts, child abuse, senior citizen neglect, child care. We stop for the school bus. Did you ever see anybody stop for a middle-ager driving a van down the street? We have child support. I mean, everything is for the young person or the old person. Miss Howes and I were driving up to eat at the Burger King not long ago, and we're driving through, stopped that little place where you, the microphone where you order, and we know Burger King real well. I mean, in fact, we're experts on Burger King. So we always get a junior Whopper. She gets one, I get six, and we always get a junior Whopper, and usually a cup of coffee. Well, I drove up the one over here on River Oaks Drive, and we drove up, and I ordered. I said, I want two junior Whoppers, no ketchup, no mayonnaise, but want mustard. And we always get them that way, and I said, two cups of coffee. And she said that, I think she said $2.71, $2 and something. And I said, no, ma'am, I said, it's more than that. She said, no, it's $2.71. It's about that. And I said, no, ma'am, it's $3 and some odd cent. I said, ma'am, we have bought junior Whoppers, two junior Whoppers and two cups of coffee at every Burger King in Chicago area. I know what they cost. It's $3.50, something like that. She said, no, $2.71. I said, no, it's $3.50. She said, no, it's $2.71.
And I said, is there a sale on? She said, no. I said, it's 3.5. She said, 271. I said, why? She said, senior citizens discount. She hadn't seen me. She had seen my wife, but she hadn't seen me. She hadn't seen either one of us. I said, how did you know we're senior citizens? She said, I can tell by the voice. I said, drop dead. Everybody wants to help the senior citizen. Everybody wants to help the child. Hey, I flew to Dallas the other day. I was preaching in Longview. Two things happened to me made me mad. And it's awful hard to make me mad. I sometimes don't get mad till 9 o'clock in the morning. And I flew through to Dallas and then took a commuter plane to Longview, Texas. One of these little planes have 40, 50 seats on them. And to get to the plane, you had to get on the little commuter bus. And so we go on the bus, and riding out, and the bus was full. And I was standing up because I got on the bus last. And this guy got up to give me his seat. I said, what's that for? He said, respect. I said, sit down. That isn't all the story. I'll never go to Longview again. Coming back, I was taking that bus from the airplane to the terminal. I was standing up. And a woman got up and gave me her seat. Young lady about 25 years old got up and said, you can have my seat. I said, drop dead, ma'am. And everybody on the bus started laughing because they knew what was going on. I said, I'm not about to, ain't no way I'm sitting down there. I mean, if I was in a wheelchair, I wouldn't go sit over there. No way. I'm saying that everybody is interested in helping the young people and the poor people. How about the middle-aged folks? All they do is pay the taxes, put up with the teenagers, pay tuition, put up with the teenagers, drive the kids to school, put up with the teenagers. All they do is support the country, do all the work, pay all the bills, support the kids, put up with the teenagers, finance the teenager, keep the house, support mama, support daddy, keep the country going, sweat and toil, and care for the young and the old, and save for retirement, and die before they're old and their children get the money. Anybody ever hear of a middle-aged director at church? Anybody ever hear of a middle-aged discount? Anybody ever hear of helping a middle-aged person across the street? Anybody ever see a middle-aged menu? Anybody ever hear of a middle-aged camp? Anybody ever go to a middle-aged conference? Anybody ever hear of a church having a middle-aged program? Like the Worst Years Club? Anybody ever hear anybody going to jail because they didn't pay middle-aged support? Or going to prison for middle-aged abuse? I mean, it's not fair. Now, the honest truth is, every step of life has its perils. But no part of life has the perils that the mid-years do. The destruction that wasteth at noonday. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. The most dangerous part of any life, whether it's human life, organizational life, the most dangerous part of any life is the noonday time, the midst of the years. It was Israel was at noontime in her life, in the history of her nation, when the Bible says in Amos, woe to those that are at ease in Zion. It's so easy at noonday to become at ease in Zion. By the way, the United States of America is at noontime in our history. Back yonder in the first 200 years, America was young. I mean, somebody challenged us. We just said, okay, we're going to go to Fifth City. Back in World War II, when the Nazis were running rampant over Europe and when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, our young men said, let's go, let's clean this thing up. We went to Europe and won a war. Went out to the Far East and won a war. Why? Because you're young and vigorous. But now America's soft. We're middle age, noonday, if you please. Boy, I long for America to be young again and vigorous again. And those years of challenge and dreams and hopes and courage. It was the church of Ephesus was at noonday when the apostle wrote and said, you're neither hot nor cold. I've seen it all across America. Churches do not die when they're young. They die at noonday. They have that first little meeting in the garage somewhere, or in a storefront building, or an attic, or under a tent somewhere. And there's excitement and enthusiasm. And that's one reason, brother, I try to keep it in the old First Baptist Church. That's why I do that. You know why? Because I don't want us to get at noonday in our church. The old church is over 100 years old, but brother, I want to stay young. I want us to keep that zeal, that enthusiasm, that joy, that thrill, that excitement of our early days. But when the church of Ephesus got to noonday, they were neither hot nor cold, and God said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. It's at noonday when Christians become indifferent. In the morning hours of their Christian life, are you listening to me, young people? Young people, you listening to me over here? In the morning hours of their Christian life, a Christian's excited. Boy, that bus route's wonderful. Telling the story of Christ is wonderful. Those songs are great. The scripture's fresh and new. But noonday comes. I've seen it all before. I've heard that scripture. I've sung that song. Somebody can sing, oh, love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. And we yawn. And we want something that'll tickle our spine a little more. We've lost the thrill. We've lost the excitement. Why? It's noonday. The destruction that wasteth at noonday. That's when preachers change. I've seen two generations of preachers. They change at noonday. As young preachers, they're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. They're ready to start. Bus Harbor, soul winning, excitement, bus ministry, exciting. What a thrill to preach. But noonday comes. They get used to it. I say to preachers, beware of the destruction that comes at noonday. Beware of the noonday destruction. Beware, churches, of noonday destruction. Beware nations of noonday destruction. Beware individual Christians of noonday destruction. Preachers become middle-aged and then criticize the young preachers who are like they used to be. Same thing happens to a spiritual movement. I watched the Baptist Bible Fellowship when it was young, exciting, virile, took a stand, courageous. False sin had blood in its veins and iron in its blood. And I've watched the noonday come. Now many of those fellows are criticizing the fellows who take the stand they used to take. That's one reason, brother, I work hard not to change a single conviction that I had when I was a kid preacher. Not a single method that I had when I was a kid preacher. I want to have the same zeal of a 25-year-old Jack Hiles. I want to have the same standards of a 25-year-old Jack Hiles. And brother, if the virgin birth was good enough for a 25-year-old preacher, it's good enough for a 68-year-old preacher. And if old-time religion was good enough for a 25-year-old preacher, it's good enough for a 68-year-old preacher. And his standards, and women dressing modestly, and men getting haircuts, and decency, and children obeying their parents, and schools that run the kids instead of kids that run the school. If that's good enough for a 25-year-old preacher, it's good enough for a 68-year-old preacher. I'm trying to say that there's a destruction that wasteth at noonday. In a nation's life, in a church's life, in a movement's life, in a preacher's life, in a Christian's life. Watch out for noontime. Middle age crisis is not limited just to individuals. Please forgive this crude statement, but churches have menopause too. Denominations have menopause too. Preachers have midlife crisis too. This morning I'm talking to people that got used to it. You're middle age. Now, when did Saul go wrong and dash his future? The destruction that wasteth at noonday. When did Solomon mar his life with 700 wives and 300 concubines. When did Solomon lose the wisdom that was the wisest man, made the wisest man in all the world? It was the destruction that wasteth at noonday. When did Demas bite the dust and leave the apostle Paul and forsake Paul and all he stood for? It was the destruction that wasteth at noonday. When did David trip and fall? It was the destruction that wasteth at noonday. When did Adolf Hitler become a ruthless tyrant? It was the destruction that wasteth at noonday. When did Abraham flee to Egypt? He who left the Ur of the Chaldees with enough faith to look for a city which had foundations, whose builder and ruler is God, not even knowing where he was going, he just knew he was supposed to leave. When did Abraham lose that faith and leave the land of Canaan and go down to the land of Egypt because of a famine? It was the destruction that wasteth at noonday. By the way, you ask any preacher in America, any fundamental preacher in America, you ask him what age most people are that get upset at church and go somewhere else, he'll tell you the middle years. Ask him. You don't hear a bunch of young couples in your couples class getting disgruntled here, the church. I mean, they're in the morning hours of life, the morning hours of Christianity. But it's the people that they're in the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And you folks who are 30 and 35 and 40 and 45 and 50 and 55 years old, look out! You are in the most dangerous era of your life. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. When did Lot choose the well-watered plains toward Sodom? The destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now, why is the midlife? Why are the middle age years, the destruction at noonday, why are they so difficult? Number one is, you're busy making a living. And you're busy being a chauffeur, a waiter, a waitress for teenagers. And you're busy. If you don't watch out, you'll become easy prey to the devil. Why? The mid-year is so crucial. And why is the destruction that wasteth at noonday a reality? Number two, because they're your most self-sufficient years. Years of success. Years of your nicest home. Years you feel great. I guess I'm not a middle-ager after all. I've got... my hair's dead. I got eye problems. In the daytime, I have to wear glasses. In the nighttime, if I look, little flashes over here and flashes, the doctor says, it's normal. I just see a little flash over here, flash over here. You ought to focus on what I'm talking about. And then I got a hearing aid. I had tried to get a hearing aid, and they said it wouldn't work. Said I've lost 30 to 40% of my hearing. And I've got a hernia, most famous hernia in the world. I'm wearing trust right now. That's why I love to sing Trust and Obey so much. But in the middle years, while you still got your hair, some folks don't have it in their middle years, I notice. While you still got your hair, while you still got that robust body, while you still strong enough to kick over microphones, I mean, in the middle years, you don't think you need God quite as much. Oh, in those early years, the youth program, there's a certain excitement, the crusading about the Christian life. And the older years, there's a certain sedation and a certain sweetness that comes over you. But those middle years, if you don't watch out, you'll backslide. I promise you, more people backslide in the destruction that wasteth at noonday than the destruction that wasteth in morning time, or the destruction that wasteth in evening time. Watch out! You're vulnerable. That's why the Lord said, revive thy work in the midst of the years. And then one reason why the destruction that wasteth at noonday is so dangerous is because it's easy to get over it. You've seen it all. No big deal anymore. When you first heard that song, Some Golden Daybreak, Jesus Will Come. Who is it this morning that hollers amen the loudest here? The young people. Who is it that criticizes them? Middle-agers. You don't hear Mary Ruth Harrington back there. She's about 140 years old. You don't hear her criticizing these folks. She wishes she could holler too. Show me a bunch of middle-aged people jump up and say, well, glory! Yeah. Well, glory! There's one right there. I'm sorry. I said middle-aged, not old man. Notice that. The middle-aged people have lived long enough to see each other's warts. We found out we're not perfect. We've known each other long enough to find out that even the preacher has his faults. Not this one, but others. Has his faults. And so, we look at the negatives instead of the positives. I don't know about you, but I am not going to become a middle-ager. I just jumped over it. I'm not going to do it. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, look out! Look out, churches at noonday. Look out, preachers at noonday. Look out, movements at noonday. Look out, families at noonday. Look out, people at noonday. The destruction that wasteth at noonday. You say, Brother Howells, what do you do? I'll tell you what I do. Everything I do for the first time. And I stay a kid that way. If you listen to me preach very long, you'll find that I'm just a kid in an old man's body. Some of you are old people in a kid's body. You know why? Every time I eat an ice cream cone, brother, I eat it in Waxahachie, Texas. You know why? Because that's the first ice cream cone I ever ate. I was 10 years old. It was a double-dip banana nut. I said a double-dip banana nut. Shall we stand for our closing prayer? I don't get an ice cream cone. no big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal, too. I've eaten thousands of ice cream cones. He's eaten millions of ice cream cones. But every time I eat one, I stop and realize how wonderful the first one was. I eat it like a child would eat an ice cream cone. The time I eat a cheeseburger, I go to Hobson Street in Dallas, Texas, where I eat a cheeseburger for the first time. My soul melted cheese was a, oh, my soul. Every time I eat a cheeseburger, I don't care if it's $2.71 or $3.50. I don't care. Every time I eat a cheeseburger, I think of Hobson Street when I ate my first one. I'm not going to get used to it. Every time I walk in the pulpit, every time I walk in that door, I think of Morris Chapel Baptist Church, a little country church, when I walked in my pulpit for the first time of a church that I pastor. And bless your little Pete Picking heart. You look at one preacher that's not going to become a middle-aged preacher. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. Every time I drink a milkshake, I go to Doherty's Pharmacy where I drank my first one, Dallas, Texas. Every time I read of the love of God, I sit again on Mrs. Bethel's knee as a five-year-old barefoot poor boy and hear that teacher tell me that Jesus loves me. Every time I think of the love of God, I think how my soul overflowed with joy when I realized that Jesus loved the little five-year-old poor kid who was a barefoot boy and the son of the neighborhood drunk. But bless God, he loves an old 68-year-old man too. I'm not going to become a middle-ager. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay young. I don't want the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Every time I start my car, I think of that 1941 Dodge. And then I go back to the old Model T Ford we used to have when I was a boy. I had to crank the thing. That's where the word cranky came from. Right down in front of the car, in front of, below the grill. You put a crank in a little hole there. And I'm talking about starting the car. You didn't have a ignition key to turn. You cranked, and you cranked, and you cranked, and you cranked. And you went in and you set the spark. Then you set the choke. You old young people haven't got any sense. And you set the spark and set the choke and try to get some gasoline to the carburetor. And then sometimes you had to get some gasoline and pour it in the carburetor. And you get that crank and crank it and crank it, and then if you didn't watch out, didn't get all the way around, it'd go the other way. And it hit you in the chin. Every time I start the car, I go back to that first little car. And I listen, I am not going to go through life not knowing what I'm enjoying. Every time Every time I go to breakfast, I go to Mrs. Ward's house in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Mrs. Howes and I had a little room, one bedroom back in the back. They wouldn't let us cook anything. Mrs. Ward could, hey, make love when you get home, would you please? Quit necking while you're in church. Just go. I don't want you to stay that young. If you're going to do it, all of us have a right to do it. But anyway, I go back to Mrs. Ward's place in Fayetteville, North Carolina, when we'd smell that breakfast, those bacon and eggs and toast coming toward our room. Not them, but the smell of it. And we'd wish we had a breakfast, and my wife would go out and pick some pecans under the pecan tree and bring some pecans in. We eat pecans for breakfast, and every time I eat breakfast, I thank God. I go back there then. I'm trying to tell you, I'm not gonna enjoy America. I'm not gonna enjoy freedom. I'm not gonna enjoy God's blessings. I'm not gonna enjoy my house. I'm not gonna enjoy my air conditioner. I'm not gonna enjoy the heating system. I'm not gonna enjoy my car. I'm not gonna enjoy my health. I'm not gonna enjoy my clothes without praising God. I am not gonna become a middle-aged Christian. Not gonna do it. The time I give an invitation, I see little Johnny Mark Gray walking down the aisle. First convert I had nearly 50 years ago, 48 years ago. Every time I give the Lord's Supper, have the Lord's Supper. You know what I'm talking about. You never saw a man enjoy the Lord's Supper like I do. You know it's the truth. Boy, I look forward to it. Next Sunday morning's Lord's Supper day. Thank God. I sit up here and remember the first time I took it. I remember the first time I administered it at that little church in East Texas with 19 people on a Sunday night. I remember that. I take it, and brother, I thank God for my Savior's broken body. I thank God for my Savior's shed blood. Every time I get a pair of shoes, I get them at the outlet shoe store in Dallas, Texas. Where as a 14-year-old boy, I had my first pair of shoes. From a government coupon, I went down to outlet shoe store and bought my first pair of shoes. And I still recall going to school the next day, and Miss Skelton, my teacher at school, looked at me and she said, "Jackie boy," she said, "those sure are pretty shoes." Every time I get a new pair of shoes, I go back and I enjoy it like I used to. I'm talking to some people this morning. You're used to everything. You know what'd be good for America? A good old war, a good old depression. A little famine, a little tough time. I mean, if the prime rate goes up 0.5%, we panic. Let me tell you something. America needs to find out that God can still care for His children if we'll serve Him and love Him. We're spoiled rotten. We're sitting today in the destruction that wasteth at noonday. I say to you people, in the midst of your years, revive His work in the midst of the years. Every time I, pardon this crude illustration again, every time I go to the bathroom, I thank God it's not that old outhouse. You don't flush it. I can't describe it. No way. I can look at a roll of toilet tissue and praise God for it. Dead should be set. There's no book cataloging an awful lot. The difference in you, you go through life taking it for granted. I go through life praising God. Time I take a shower, I say, "Hallelujah, this ain't no number two tub." With daddy's dirty water and mama's dirty water and Earlene's dirty water, and I wash the fourth in the same water. If you want to see something dirty, you see my sister's bath water after she's used it. Not only that, at her size, the tub always overflowed, didn't need enough water. I wish I could grab every one of you and shake you this morning. You folks that don't shout ought to shout. You folks that don't praise God ought to praise God. You wear the same type clothes we wear. You live in the same country we live. You have the same Savior we have. You're going to the same heaven we're going to. Your name is written in the same book of life that ours is written in. I'm trying to say, you middle-agers, you see it all. Oh, no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. as a destruction that wasteth at noonday. The time I set the thermostat, I remember that old wood stove. Old pot-bellied wood stove, thing get hot, you see it, you think it's going to melt. You'd get right up close to it in a cold winter day, and you'd freeze in the back and roast in the front. You'd turn around and roast in the back and freeze in the front. Now we walk up that little thermostat, and you turn it. And a message goes down to that central heating unit, says, time to turn on. It says, yes, sir. And you gripe. You gripe. I shouldn't talk about seed, should I? Okay. Just checking with headquarters. I won't tell you where it is, but it has to do with all these seed that falling off these trees and messing up your yard these days. Somebody I know has been concerned about that. Thing I've never understood is why you fertilize a yard. You wouldn't have to mow it half as much. By the time I turn on the lights, I think of the old kerosene lamp. To be quite frank with you, I don't ever plan to become a teenager. I was telling the folks Wednesday night. I was preaching down in Greensboro, North Carolina, Tuesday night, and I decided to get up on the rail here. They couldn't believe an old man, 68 years old, get up on a rail. I got up there. They were gasping. One lady said, that old man's going to fall. Let me tell you something, folks. The middle age of a church is when churches die. The middle age of a Christian life is when Christians backslide and get cold. And the middle years of a human's life. I'm talking about 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, and 55 are the most dangerous years of your life. So just don't have them. Just don't have them. Some of you fellows about 50 years old that are vice president of the bank, why don't you shout every once in a while? Now, I think I'm in trouble. We probably don't have over two bank vice presidents here. I'm not talking to you guys, because both of you shout. Some of you folks have PhDs. Why don't you make that praise him devotedly? I thought of that just real quick. I didn't plan to say that. Now, I'm trying to tell you folks, look out. Don't become a teenager. Don't become a middle-ager. Stay a teenager. Keep the joy. Keep the morning time of life. The destruction that wasteth at noonday. Look at me and I'm finished. You going through that time of your life, I'm not talking about middle age crisis only. I'm talking about the crisis of anything, institution, individual, marriage, anything else. Church, school, anything else. I don't want Howells Henderson College to ever become middle age. And brother, I worked like everything to keep it from it. I want us to always be young. For there's a destruction that wasteth at noonday. How about you today? You in those years when Lot and Abraham, David and Jacob and others found that destruction that wasteth at noonday? Or in your Christian life, are you in a middle age crisis? Disgruntled? Upset? I mentioned something a while ago about the music they sang. I love that song. I love the foot patters too. That's why they said God never put a patting foot and a praying knee on the same leg. I got news for you. There's one right there. I mean, I enjoy life. You say, Brother Hiles, I haven't got much of it left. That's why I'm enjoying it so much. I haven't got much time to enjoy it. In fact, I'm going to enjoy it till about 12:30 right now. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, live life! Stay young and virile and active and the same enthusiasm and zeal and joy and abounding love and optimism that you have when you're young. Don't become a middle-ager. There's an
corruption that wasteth at noonday. Our Heavenly Father,